We thank you, Father, for the one who came and shared the gospel with us and for the hope that we have because of that. We thank you, Father, for giving us opportunity to share the gospel where we work or we live. We pray that you would take our efforts and multiply them and use them in a mighty way to bring people to Christ. We pray now as we look at your word that you'll open it to our understanding, and Lord, that we might learn something or remind us of something that we had forgotten about. So we commit the word to you, and we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Let's take our Bibles, and we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. This afternoon we're going to look at, is conscience a safe guide? Many people talk about their conscience and their conscience being their guide and leading them. And so we're going to look at what the Bible says about this matter, and hopefully we'll learn something or remind us of something we already knew. Paul, in looking intently at the council, said to them, "Brethren, I have lived before God in all good conscience unto this day." That's in Acts 23:1. He also said, "So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward God and toward men," in Acts 24:16. Often people will say, "Let your conscience be your guide." Someone asks, "Well, should I do this, should that, do that?" And someone will reply, "Let your conscience be your guide." But again, is that a good thing to do? Well, let's see what the Bible says about it. First of all, what is a conscience? Well, one copybook, and how many even know what a copybook is? Patty knows, she's a school teacher at home. A copybook is something that usually it's a little book, and it goes way back. And you would have a sentence, and you would copy it. Underneath, there would be lines or something, and you would copy that sentence, and it was for pretty much practicing your writing. Well, in a copybook, this statement was made, "The celestial spark that's in the breast," describing the conscience. Robert Browning said, "It's the great beacon light God sets in all of us." Well, I don't know that I could agree totally with that. Someone has said it's the voice of God in the soul. Well, that could be a good thing if that soul's saved. But if it's not saved, then God's not speaking except you need to be saved. There are a lot of things within us that kind of dictate how we behave. For example, hunger says to man, "Eat," but it doesn't tell us what to eat. And two, conscience says, "Do the right thing," or "Do right." But again, it doesn't tell us what's right. So just to rely on conscience itself, is that really a safe guide? Is it something that we ought to follow? Point 2a, the conscience must be taught what is right by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we're talking about a person who is saved. We're talking about a person that knows the Lord. God's not going to teach the conscience of a lost person because God's not in the business of equipping the devil's kids to do wrong. So when we talk about our conscience is a good thing, and thank God that we have one. But it must be one that is taught by what the Scripture teaches. Let's look here in John chapter 16, beginning at verse number 7, just reading some verses. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient," or it's profitable, or advantageous for you, "that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will, first of all, reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." Now notice the Holy Spirit is a reprover. He is one who convicts and convinces, or convinces and convicts. And he does this, he convicts the world of sin. So being taught by the Holy Spirit and our conscience being taught by God, God the Holy Spirit is going to teach us and teach our conscience for us what is sin for us, what is right for us, what we should or should not do. The Spirit of God is going to convince us as to why a certain thing is right or wrong for us individually. And it's going to impact our conscience. He's going to reprove or convince and convict of righteousness, of that which is right in the sight of God. Obviously, if he's going to teach us what is right in the sight of God, the opposite is we're going to know what is wrong in the sight of God. And again, our conscience is going to be impacted as to what is right and what is wrong. Now, we must understand that when we're talking about our conscience, we're talking about our individual conscience. My conscience, your conscience. And God teaching us individually and teaching us what we need to know individually so that we might learn in our personal relationship with the Lord what is right for us, what is wrong for us. And so he's talking about convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The judgment which is to come. The judgment which will come upon the world. And again, that impacts our conscience. Because we, knowing that judgment is coming, will impact our conscience, knowing that God sent His Son to die, knowing it's the right thing to share the gospel, will motivate us to be more open and sharing with the gospel truth. So we must have our conscience impacted by what is taught from God the Holy Spirit, teaching us through His Word. Notice again, Jesus said that the Spirit will come. He's called, verse 13, the Spirit of truth. When He's come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He hears, that will He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me. So again, the Holy Spirit teaches us that through our conscience, the way we live, the way we conduct our lives, we ought to be doing it for the glory of God. So it impacts every part of our life. As God teaches us, impacting us and our conscience in how we live and regulate our lifestyle. So our conscience can be a safeguard if it's guided by what is taught in the Scripture. Now notice here, point B, before his conversion to Christ, Paul followed his conscience in persecuting the church. Now he was called Saul at that time. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 1, verse 13 and 14. And he's sharing his testimony with the people at Galatia. And he says, "For you have heard of my lifestyle, my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion." So he's saying, you have heard about the way I lived when I was a Pharisee practicing the Old Testament law, how that beyond measure or beyond the call of duty, beyond measure, I persecuted the church of God and destroyed it. I wasted it. Now, this is what he did before he was saved. And he said, and I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals, or I advanced. It doesn't mean he made money off of it. Because if he had been that kind of a Pharisee, he wouldn't have been true to the law of God. But he said, I followed the law of God. So he advanced because of his dedication to his old way. I profited, I advanced in the Jews' religion above mine equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So before Paul became a believer, he was following his conscience. He was following what he had been taught, what he believed was the right thing to do. And he literally sought to destroy and annihilate the church. So based on that, I don't think it would be just a good thing to say, just follow your conscience. Let your conscience be your guide. Because there has to be a guide to our conscience in order that we might be doing the right thing and doing what we ought to be doing. And so we see here that before this took place, this is the way he lived. Now on the flip side of that, we have a situation over in the book of Acts chapter 4. So will you go with me there? Beginning at verse 1, here we find that Peter and John had a Christ-instructed conscience. Now before this, Peter was that guy that denied the Lord, remember? He's the one that denied the Lord three times. He's the one that followed afar off. He was the one that was a bit sheepish about his testimony. But now he's grown in the Lord. He has been forgiven. Jesus has said, tell Peter that I'm risen from the dead. Tell Peter and the others that I'm risen from the dead. And I don't know if you noticed this morning when we read from the book of Acts that it was said, and he appeared unto Peter and the rest. Again, it's pointed out, that Peter was definitely there to see Jesus risen from the dead. And so we find here in the book of Acts, and it says, as they spake to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them, put them in the hold, put them in prison unto the next day, for it was an eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. It came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined for the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you. This is the stone which the builders set at naught, of you builders, which is before the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Peter's saying this, not because he's being paid to do so, but he believes it. His conscience will not let him say anything else. And he's giving a bold testimony for the glory of God about the healing of this man. And this really riles the crowd. It says, and behold this man which was healed, verse 14, and behold the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a noble miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak thenceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at any nor all to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than to God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all the men glorified God for that which was done. For the man that was about 40 years old on whom the miracle had done and the healing was showed. So here we have these men being motivated by God, by what they believe, by what they've been taught, their conscience. When they have an opportunity, their conscience is provoking them to speak forth clearly truth. And how many times has this one verse, verse 12, been repeated over and over and over in a salvation plan? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we find this conscience is a good thing if it's taught by God the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. We see point D, that every man must obey his conscience, but he must make sure that it is Christ instructed. Now, how shall a conscience be enlightened as to what is right? You find people, and maybe you've talked to some, I have, that are professing believers, and they hold to things that are just really not right in teaching with the Bible. But they firmly believe that what they are holding to is in agreement with the Scripture. So how do we enlighten our conscience to make sure that what we are motivated by in our conscience, that it's right? Well, first of all, A, by studying the Word of God. Notice what the Bible says about that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, familiar verses of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for what we teach is truth, for reproof, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Scripture has to be our guide. And we must make sure that what we hold to with our conscience is in agreement with what the Word of God teaches. If we do anything otherwise, then we're being unscriptural. And we may feel that we're really going down the right path, but in reality, we're going contrary to the Scripture, And we're relying on a conscience that is not in agreement with the Word of God. There have been some things that I've held to in the past in my earlier years in Christian service. Some things that I really believed and had a conscience and a firm conviction, if you please, they were the right thing. But then I began to study the Bible about it, and I found out that what I was holding to didn't agree with what Scripture taught. And I had to make a choice. I had to make a decision. Am I going to follow what the Bible teaches, even though it doesn't really line up with what my conscience says right now? Or am I going to let the Word of God change my conscience so that I follow what the Scripture teaches? Listen, you'll never go wrong by letting the Bible teach you what is right. And sometimes that involves our changing a position or a practice or something that we held to dearly. Because what we were holding to was nothing more than our preference, and it wasn't a biblical position. And so we must be careful about that. So we find that we study the Word of God to be sure that our conscience is headed down the right path. B, by doing right when the right thing is revealed. God will reveal what He wants us to know as the right thing as we have studied and taught ourselves and have been taught from the teaching of the Scripture. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So we have a guide here. How do I know it's right? I have at least verse 8. K. Arthur says we are to Philippian 4:8 it everything. And that's a good guide to the conscience. Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it true? Is it lovely? Is it of good report? Does it have virtue to it? Is it praiseworthy? If so, then that can be a right guide to our conscience. And we have to put out some work and some effort. We also have to pray. We read this here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So point C, by praying to God, asking God what is the right thing and what is the right guide and direction that we should take. And is our conscience leading us biblically? And then point D, by yielding to God the Holy Spirit. And again, let's look at Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This wrestling that we do in verse 12, that's not something we do on our own. There's no way we can fight this kind of warfare against this kind of enemy and win it without supernatural enablement. And the only way that can come is by our being students of the Word, so we know what is the right and the wrong thing to do. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we find here that we have a guide. This book is our guide. And our conscience can be clear. Our conscience can be good. if it's taught and trained by the Word of God. About 120 years ago, I went into the military. Thought you'd get a kick out of that. And I was young. Believe it, one time I used to be young. And I went into the Air Force, and they sent me to boot camp. They didn't send me right off to serve in the military. They sent me, first of all, to boot camp. And for 6 weeks, they trained me in how they wanted me to think, how they wanted me to act, what I could, what I couldn't do, what I could and could not say, where I could and could not go. They trained me. And then after I finished boot camp, they threatened us every day, if you don't do this right, we'll set you back to first week. And boy, that's a motivator in itself, because you surely don't want to have to go through it again. But it was the training time. And when I came out of the boot camp, I was thinking like a soldier. I went in thinking like a civilian. And the first encounter I had with civilian thinking was when they took us to the barber. And the barber says, "How would you like to have it cut?" And I said, "Take a little off the sides and off the top." Well, he did. He took everything off the sides and off the top. And right then, that was an astonishing event in my life. So I'd never had all my hair shaved off. But it was done to get us, to break us, to get us to a place where we were teachable, where we could learn. And that's what happens with our conscience. We can be saved and on our way to heaven, but if our conscience is not taught by the right teacher, then our conscience is going to lead us down a wrong path. Our conscience is going to give us concepts and ideas that do not agree with the Word of God. And I promise you, the enemy will jump on that. So when we are wanting to follow our conscience, that's a good thing. But it must be taught by God's Word. And when we encounter something in life that we're not sure of, we need to find out what the Bible says about it and not just let our conscience be our guide. So is our conscience a good, reliable source? Yes. If it's in a believer, and if it's been taught by the Word of God, yes. Many of you have a good, solid, biblical conscience. Thank God for that. It gives you discernment. It gives you understanding. It helps you to see things in this world. It helps you to understand what's happening now and what happened in the future. It helps you to train other people. Let God continue to use that. But let's be sure that our conscience is led by God, and the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us, Lord, that we would allow you to teach our conscience. Lord, we don't want to make wrong decisions. We don't want to do wrong things. We don't want to follow our gut feeling, as they say. We don't want to let our conscience be our guide. We want you to be our guide. We want you to teach us and train us. But we know, Lord, when we've been through training, we think differently. We think the way we're supposed to. Just like when soldiers go through boot camp, they come out thinking like soldiers. And that's the way they're supposed to think while they're in the military. And so I pray you'd help us as Christian soldiers to think according to the training we've received and the training that we continually receive. And help us to be open to the Holy Spirit's training us and teaching us that which we need to know, not what we think we know. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.